Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is our gospel lesson from John chapter 2, which describes the first miracle Jesus performed during his public ministry. And it is the miracle of changing water into wine at the wedding in Cana. It's an amazing miracle, but I don't know. It's not something I would have chosen or I would have thought of as the Lord's first choice for his first miracle. I mean, wouldn't you think he would do something more spectacular, like raise the dead or call down a legion of angels? Or if he really wanted to make himself popular, he could call down a giant meteor on top of a Roman garrison. But that's not what Jesus chooses to do. The first miracle is Jesus changing water into wine at a wedding. It's not a matter of life and death. It's not a showdown with the Prince of Darkness. It's a wedding. They happen all the time. And sometimes weddings run out of wine or run out of things that they need. But at this particular wedding, it's different because Jesus is there. They've run out of wine. They need help. And what Jesus does better than anybody else who's ever lived is Jesus helps people. People like this couple who have run out of wine at their wedding. Jesus is the one who helps us because he's the one who helps all people. I love Psalm 46. It says, God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in times of trouble. And Psalm 121 says, I look to the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. Do you ever think you're on your own, that you're all by yourself, that you're doing everything by yourself? That's not the case. Jesus is here to help. He's on your side, and he is the one who will help you in the way you need it the most. And that's what we see in our text. Jesus is the one who can help us because, as this text demonstrates for us, he is three things. Number one, he is the Lord of creation. Number two, he is the Lord of love. Number three, he is the Lord of joy. So let's look at that and look at this miracle a little bit closer. Number one, Jesus is the Lord of creation. Of course, we know what happened. The couple ran out of wine, and Jesus' mother, Mary, comes to him and says they've run out of wine. She tells the servants, do whatever he tells you to do. And then Jesus tells them to do something simple. They have six stone water jars there used for purification purposes. Huge stone jars, 20 to 30 gallons each. And Jesus says, fill them with water. And when he says fill them, he means fill them to the brim, to the point of overflowing. Completely fill these stone jars. And of course, we know what happens is that the master of the feast tasted the water and it had now become wine. Good wine, great wine. So good that the master wished they had brought that one out first. You know, that's an incredible miracle. It's an amazing thing, and it shows that Jesus is the Lord of creation. You know, the Lord turns water into wine on a regular basis. You know, what normally happens, and the way this usually happens, is that rain falls from the sky, right? The vine absorbs the water, the vine produces grapes, the grapes produce juice. And when you squeeze grape juice, it ferments naturally into wine. So over and over again, this happens in creation. But usually it takes months. Here in Cana, Jesus does what he as the Lord of creation has been doing from the creation of the world. He changes water into wine. He just speeds up the process a little bit. Why? Because he wants to do what Jesus always does. Jesus helps people. And see, Jesus is here to help. He is our helper, the one who helps us in our time of need. Just like he helped this couple, he helps you and me. And just as he provided physically for this couple in this particular situation, he, as the Lord of creation, provides for our physical needs as well. Matthew 6, verse 11 says, "Give us this day our daily bread." That's what we pray for in the Lord's Prayer. And you know what? God answers that prayer, doesn't he? Look back on your life and see how God has provided the daily bread you need each and every day. And not only daily bread, but so much more besides. We have a roof over our head, clothes on our back, food on our table. When you open your refrigerator, is the only thing in there a stale piece of bread? I hope not. God is good. And Jesus has provided for our physical needs and provided for them abundantly more besides. Philippians 4 verse 19 says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." The Lord is the Lord of creation, and he abundantly blesses us and meets our needs, our physical needs, each and every day. Why does he do that? Because that's what Jesus does. Jesus helps people, people like you and me. You see, he's not only the Lord of creation, he is also the Lord of love. Now, there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus told them to fill them to the brim, and he turns that 120 to 180 gallons into wine. See, in this first miracle, Jesus gives his blessing and affirmation to marriage, doesn't he? Jesus, of course, was a single person. He was not called to be an earthly husband or an earthly father. He was on a different mission. But here, he gives his blessing to marriage by blessing this couple first and foremost with his presence. What an honor to have Jesus at your own wedding. Of course, they're not the only ones. If you're married, you had Jesus at your wedding as well, because he's the one who joined you in marriage. It's the ultimate privilege. Not only does Jesus bless this couple with his presence, but he also blesses them with a gift, well, a present. Jesus has the people fill 6 20 to 30 gallon stone jars, filling them to the brim, and then turns that water into wine. It's an abundant amount of wine. So do your math. 6 times 30 is 180 gallons of wine. So 180 gallons of wine could produce about, well, today, about 900 bottles of wine. So based on what Google says. Not just wine, though, of course, good wine. This is the best wine. The best quality wine that there is. So how much, what kind of present did Jesus give this couple at their wedding? Well, a good bottle of wine, and again, remember, this is the best wine made by Jesus himself. A good bottle of wine easily goes for $50, right? So 900 times $50 is $45,000. An amazingly generous wedding gift. Jesus helps people, and Jesus is generous. Jesus gives generously because Jesus is the Lord of love. He doesn't give stingy gifts. He doesn't give with with one hand and take back with the other. No, he is incredibly generous and abundantly provides for our needs. That $45,000 gift to this couple was an amazingly generous gift, but it's nowhere near the most generous or most expensive gift that Jesus gave to them or to us. You see, the most expensive gift that Jesus gave wasn't something that could be measured in dollars at all. It wasn't gold or silver. The most expensive gift that Jesus gave was his holy, precious blood, given and shed for you on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. You see, Jesus is the Lord of love, and he meets our needs in every way. Our greatest need, though, isn't for bread or water or wine. Our greatest need is for the forgiveness of sins. But to forgive sins requires the shedding of blood, not the blood of goats or animals. That can't do it. The only thing that can pay for all the sins of everybody in the world is the blood of God himself, the blood of Jesus Christ. And as the Lord of love, Jesus willingly shed his blood on the cross for you because of his great love for you. He says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. John 15:13. Then he says, you are my friends. Jesus proved to be our very best friend by laying down his life for us, shedding his blood so that you might have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life, so that your greatest needs could be met. Jesus is the Lord of love. He proves it at Cana by turning water into wine, and he proves it at Calvary by shedding his blood on the cross so that our sins might be forgiven. Jesus is the Lord of creation. Jesus is the Lord of love. But one more thing. Jesus is also the Lord of joy. This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. John 2, verse 11. This wedding feast miracle has all sorts of significance. It shows Jesus to be the Lord of creation. It certainly shows Jesus to be the Lord of love, kind and generous and powerful. But of course, it points to a greater feast. It happened at this celebration, at this great time of joy, because, well, Jesus loves to celebrate. Jesus did this miracle so that the wedding feast could continue. And that's what Jesus spent a lot of time doing when he was on earth. He celebrated. He was eating and drinking and feasting with his disciples and with anybody who would accept his invitation. You see, Jesus loves to celebrate. In fact, the Pharisees and other people accused Jesus of celebrating too much, right? What did the Pharisees say? This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. When people asked why Jesus and his disciples didn't fast, Jesus replied, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? Matthew 9:15. You see, Jesus said, I'm the bridegroom who has come to claim his bride, the church. And as long as I'm here, we're not fasting, we're celebrating. When the bridegroom Jesus is present, it's not time to fast, it's time to celebrate. And Jesus loves to celebrate. He is the Lord of joy. And more than anything, he wants to celebrate with you, not just for a day or a week-long celebration like weddings were in those days. He wants to celebrate you at his wedding feast for all of eternity. Jesus invites you to the greatest celebration of all, the wedding feast of the Lamb. Revelation 19:6-7 says, Alleluia, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. We are so blessed today because Jesus invites us to feast with him at his table. Celebrate with him the Lord's Supper, his very own feast, which he has prepared, his body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. In this supper, Jesus is truly present, and because of that, it is time to celebrate. But as we say in our liturgy, this Lord's Supper is only a foretaste of the feast to come. It's just a taste. Jesus has invited us to celebrate with him at the heavenly feast, the marriage feast of the Lamb in the kingdom of God. Let us rejoice and exult and give him glory. It is the celebration that will never end. It is the celebration where it never is completed. It is his celebration because Jesus is the Lord of creation, the Lord of love, and the Lord of joy. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.